Please be seated. My meditation is based on the epistle lesson this morning from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So if you want to, you can follow along in your bulletin, or you can turn in your pew Bibles. Paul, in his letter to the church of Ephesus, speaks to us about being filled with the fullness of God. Now, Paul had a real passion for the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. In fact, in Acts chapter 19, Paul made Ephesus a center for evangelism. He spent over 2 years there establishing this church. People were renouncing their pagan practices, coming to repentance, of getting rid of their occult and Ouija boards and horoscopes, and coming to know Jesus. And the word of the Lord spread like wildfire. After Paul left, the church flourished and grew. But later it kind of filtered off and declined a bit and needed encouragement and a warning. So Paul, while he was in prison in Rome, he wrote to the Ephesians. Now, a little background. The city of Ephesus was an important city in Western Asia, which is now modern-day Turkey. It was the largest commercial trading center in the Roman Empire, connecting the east to the west. And it boasted of the pagan temple dedicated to the Roman god Diana, or Artemis. So Paul, wanting to keep the Ephesians on track, he writes this letter. He opens with a whole sequence and statements about God's blessings. That God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He says in chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And he goes on to say that God chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, and giving us the Holy Spirit as a deposit and the guarantee. So he's saying to the Ephesians, you can hang in there. Think about that for a minute. Ponder this thought. You were chosen before the foundation of the world, before God created everything. He knew you. I think that's pretty awesome, don't you? And then in chapter 2, he lays out the basis for our salvation. He says, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not anything you do. It's a gift of God, not the result of any works. You don't earn salvation so that anyone can say, ha ha, I'm better than you, or I'm more spiritual than you." And then Paul concludes chapter 2 by saying that Christ has reconciled us to himself, and he's made both Jew and Gentile together, making peace by the blood of his cross. I encourage you to read it. Quite an introduction. So now we come to our epistle lesson in chapter 3. Paul now prays for the Ephesians, the Ephesian Christians. And it's a powerful prayer. And this morning I want to unpack some of this. So he begins in verse 14. "For this reason," and let me stop there for a second. When Paul says "for this reason" or "cause," he's really referring back to verses 12 and 13, where he says that because the Ephesians have access to God through Christ, don't lose heart. He says, "So I ask you, don't lose heart over my sufferings." So then he goes on to say, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Wow. Who prays like this? How many of us pray like that? That we would be strengthened with power in our inner being. But Paul knows, he knows what the Holy Spirit can do. You see, Paul was in prison. And the Ephesian Christians were wondering and beginning to doubt that either that maybe the things Paul was saying weren't true. The world around them was in darkness and chaos. There was division everywhere, persecution, struggling with one's own spiritual life. Satan was out to destroy their unity. They were losing heart, and they needed spiritual strength. Like the Ephesians, we also lose heart many times in our spiritual walk, don't we? We also live in a dark world today. There seems to be chaos all around us. I don't know about you, but I just don't even want to turn on the news anymore. I can't take it. We no longer live in a culture with moral absolutes. There's no right, there's no wrong, no truth by which to guide us. Everyone decides what's right in their own eyes. And anyone who goes around and espouses Christian truth is mocked and ridiculed as a bigot or out of touch and even dangerous. And then there's sometimes that we lose heart over the things that happen to us in life. We become discouraged sometimes, even hardened to the things of God. Things don't work out the way we expected. Our health is failing, or we feel stuck in a rut with our job, or a failed relationship, dysfunctional families. Constantly we battle anxiety and even depression. Just like the Ephesians, Satan's aim is to drive us into the ground where we give up and end up wandering from our faith. The world, the devil in our sinful flesh wear us down. I know it does me, and I need spiritual strength. I need what Paul is praying for. It's funny, even in our gospel this morning, the disciples, after being with Jesus for how long and seeing the miracles and seeing all the things he's done, are in a boat, they see him walking out of water, and what are they? They're terrified. They still didn't know who he was. But he comes and he says, "It is I, don't be afraid." And it says their hearts were still hardened. That's why Paul, he prays like this. "According to the riches of his glory, you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner being." The Greek word for inner being means the heart, the mind, the will, your total being of who you are. God's power is his saving act for those who believe. Brothers and sisters, we have a powerful God. We have a God that's greater than all our distress or anxiety or anything that can happen to us. He cares for us. He gives us the Holy Spirit and power to endure. Then he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And the Greek word for dwell is to take up residence. Here I am. He is completely at home in our inner being. When you were baptized, Christ came to take up residence in you. And he gives us the spiritual strength we need in the darkest times. You have Christ living in you. Then he goes on that we would have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth of the love of Christ. The love of Christ is beyond our comprehension, yet the love of Christ is readily available to us right here and right now. I can remember when I lived in the Midwest, going on summer vacations to northern Wisconsin. Now, northern Wisconsin was nothing but wilderness. Wolves and foxes and all that kind of thing. And at night we would build a fire and roast marshmallows. And you look up at the sky and see all the stars. Hundreds that you would never see in the city or in a metropolitan area. And I was in awe of the majesty of God's universe. And you could even see shooting stars going across you. It was so cool. See, living near the city, you can't see the vastness of the stars. because all the clutter and lights and pollution of a metropolitan area. In the same way, many times we have difficulty seeing the vastness of Christ's love with the clutter and the pollution in our lives. Yet the vastness of Christ's love is still there. It's there, it hasn't diminished, and it is there for you. It's so awesome that the fact that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins and rose again that you might be forgiven and have eternal life. That's the vastness of his love. Sometimes I think we know that, but do we really know that? And dwell on that for a minute. That God himself came to take your place for sin, that you might be righteous. Wow, that's pretty vast love, in my opinion. Then Paul prays that the Ephesian Christians, and listen to this, would be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? What does it mean for you and I to be filled with the fullness of God? How does that translate into my world of anxiety, stress, and pain? You see, what Paul is getting at here is you can have the fullness of God with faith in Jesus. The fullness of God is yours. It's free. It's God's gift to you by means of faith. You don't earn it. You don't try to get it. You receive it because God desires to give you abundant life. That's the gospel. See, the fullness of God's love will pursue you. It'll run you down and capture you all the days of your life until you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the fullness of God comes from being connected to Jesus, having a trust-filled relationship with God, our Savior. See, Jesus took on death for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. Because of this, we have the fullness to live in a world of stress, pain, and anxiety. And you know what, brothers and sisters? The fullness of God is right here this morning in this place. How? As we hear his word, we're being filled with faith in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing both the marrow down deep into the soul. The word of God fills us and changes us. And when we come to the Lord's table to receive Christ's true body and blood, we are taking in the fullness of God, who gives us the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins, no matter what we have done or how much we have fallen. That's the vastness of his love. And then he strengthens our faith. As true God, Christ fills and governs the whole universe. As true man, he came to take our place, to identify with us, to become our substitute for sin. And his promise is that all who believe in him will have eternal life. Jesus, his fullness is with us in his immeasurable gifts. So brothers and sisters, that's quite a prayer, isn't it? Wow. And I pray that you would be filled with the fullness of God. I pray that you would be strengthened in your inner being by God's Holy Spirit, because he is here. Jesus continues to come to give us his gifts and all his spiritual blessings. He fills us beyond measure with his love and gives us the strength to continue our spiritual journey. Therefore, we don't lose heart, because Jesus is here this morning to give us his complete fullness. Come and receive. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us rise.